My brothers and sisters in Christ, permit me to open this Congress with a very few words, brief as I can make them. I'm sometimes not noted for brevity. A very few brief words of my own. I have much on my heart. I think there are some things that should be said. Much of what I say will doubtless be said again and better by others. Some of what I shall say was undoubtedly said already and better by Father Williamson earlier at evening prayer. I do not mean to anticipate what others may say. There are, however, matters which cannot be too often emphasized. If I were a preacher, and I'm not a preacher, and if this were a sermon, and it is not a sermon, I would surely take as my text that superb passage in the Epistle to the Ephesians, in which St. Paul warns us that we wrestle with principalities and with powers and with spiritual wickedness in high places. He admonishes us to put on the whole armor of God, truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thus, he says, we can withstand in the evil day, and having done all, can stand unafraid, unbeaten. What magnificent words. What magnificent reassurance for us at this moment. I referred to this Congress a few moments ago as an extraordinary Congress. As far as I know, it has no exact precedent or parallel in all of Anglican history. It is a strange Congress, called by people with no authority but their faith, attended by people with no authority but their faith. We are not a church, but we speak for the lacerated church. We are here because our unity in Christ and our community of faith mean more to us than a false, shallow, and compromising paper unity in those human institutions called the Anglican Church of Canada and the Protestant Episcopal Church in the United States of America. We are not a synod. We are not a general convention. Nor are we a constitutional convention. We will not have the time or the means in the brief 24 working hours that we will spend here for argument and debate, for points of order and motions and resolutions. We are here to witness, to express to the Church Universal our unshaken faith in its wholeness. The fellowship, acting on faith and in the role of spokesman for a mass of as yet generally unorganized church, but churchmen in our two countries, will offer a platform and provisional guidelines for the continuation of the Anglican and Episcopal churches in North America, a provisional plan to which, God willing, you and others of the faithful can rally. To a degree, the eyes of Christendom are upon us. And I hope that doesn't sound immodest, but I believe it to be true. Several church bodies have observers present here tonight. The other apostolic churches are keen to see what manner of Christians we are, how sound, how zealous, how faithful, how determined, to see what unity we can forge. The eyes of the Anglican Communion are certainly upon us. There is widespread concern, support, and prayer for us all over the Anglican Communion. Anglicans all over the world are watching to see what path we chart, which path they may need and dare to follow later. Many messages of interest and support have been received from throughout Anglicanism. Bishops, priests, and laymen have written that they are praying for us. I wish I could read all those messages to you. Obviously, I cannot do so, but I would like to share with you three or four messages of greeting which we have received. Yesterday, I received a cablegram from the Reverend William E. Weston, who is Federal Secretary of the Australian Church Union in Sydney, New South Wales, Australia. It reads, assuring you of prayerful support for St. Louis Congress and the future of your movement. I also received a few days ago a letter from the Reverend David Braddock of Auckland, New Zealand, who is National Secretary of the Selwyn Society for the Continuance of the Church, a New Zealand group which is fighting for and against the same things we are. Father Braddock writes, I write on behalf of the Selwyn Society in New Zealand to extend prayers and good wishes to those of your members who will gather for the Church Congress in St. Louis. Although we are located on the other side of the world and are therefore prevented by distance from being with you, we would like you to know of the firmness of our identification with you in the struggle in which you are currently engaged for the integrity and continuance of our beloved Church. Please convey our greetings to the Congress and the assurance of our prayers and thoughts. Again, today I received a cablegram from the Reverend Douglas M. Sutherland, head of a group of priests in the Archdiocese of Brisbane in Australia, a group which has successfully fought so far against any authorization of the ordination of women in that archdiocese. And Father Sutherland cabled, prayers and good wishes for successive conference. God bless you all. Finally, I have had in the last few days a letter from the Right Reverend R.G. Porter, Bishop of the Diocese of the Murray in Australia. Bishop Porter writes, your approaching Church Congress in St. Louis is very much in my thoughts and prayers, and those of a great many other loyal Anglicans in Australia. I shall be lifting you up on those 3 days, 14th, 15th, and 16th September, in ways beyond my normal rule of life. God bless you and all that you are endeavoring to accomplish. You have my prayers and my blessings. Those are typical of the kinds of messages that are coming to us. Yes, we are under observation here. Even the world outside our doors has a lively interest in what we say and do. We have come together from the far corners of the Church in North America. We did not want to come, other things being equal, to this kind of gathering, but other things were not equal. We have been forced to this step by those who failed us, and their roster is long. Most of our bishops failed us. Many of our priests failed us. Behind them, the seminaries failed us. The laity, ill-taught, far too often complacent, failed us. The spirit of the world and of the times prevailed against us. The Holy Ghost, ever present, ever invoked, stayed his hand among us for our lack of faith. Because of these and other factors, Quebec in 1975 and Minneapolis in 1976 failed us. And so, sorrowfully, but with great hope and a tremendous sense of mission and of brotherhood in Christ, we come together. We come together as Catholics, a word we shall doubtless hear often in these hours. Now perhaps, very, very probably, many of you never think of yourselves as Catholics. Maybe you mistrust the word, find it distasteful. But we are Catholics, and let us never be ashamed to claim that glorious term for ourselves. We are not Roman Catholics, nor are we Eastern Orthodox Catholics. We are Catholics in the rich tradition of the Church of England, whose children we are. We are Catholics because we are apostolic and sacramental in the way which Jesus Christ prescribed. We are Catholics because we belong to His church, the one church which He left for our comfort and salvation. We are Catholics because we too are descended from and are still spiritually part of that undivided church which was His legacy and for whose return we yearn and are prepared to strive. We are Catholics because we accept the creeds in which we confess our belief in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We are here because we are Catholics, and we are Catholics because we believe. As Catholics, we must rise above every label of partisanship, every outworn tag that is too often served only to confuse and divide us. This Congress is not high church. Neither is it low church. It is not Anglo-Catholic. Neither is it evangelical. This Congress is a united Catholic witness and action for the faith as we all received it and profess it. We are here, too, because we are Anglicans. We are offspring of the Church of England. We are products of that special flavor, that special character and tone, which characterizes the Anglican communion. Anglicanism has produced that unequaled expression of worship, that marvelous declaration of our faith, that singular example of the heights of reverence, beauty, and majesty to which the English tongue can soar, the Book of Common Prayer. Anglicanism is free and reformed. It is at its best fervent and evangelizing. It is Catholic. We believe that Anglicanism has a place in and has a contribution to make to that cluster of bodies which make up the Holy Catholic Church. We assert our Anglicanism. As long as the See of Canterbury stands committed to the faith as it was received through the Celtic saints and Saint Augustine, and as it has always hitherto been proclaimed by that See, we assert here to Canterbury itself our intention and our claim to be Anglican. Now, there are temptations in a gathering like this, and at a moment like this, temptations to be bitter, to dwell on the wrongs which have driven us to this step. Those wrongs are real, they're grave, they're historical fact. They will doubtless be listed and recalled many times here, and properly. But we are not here to lament. We are not here to scourge. We are not here to hate. The church which we loved has gone another way, unheeding. It has departed from apostolic order, and apostolic order is the very cornerstone of those sacraments that unite us to Christ and reveal His comforting and healing presence among us. The church has changed doctrine. It has turned its back on those scriptural standards which God gave for our guidance. Schism? I dare use that word. We have been too long beaten over the head with that word. Let us never forget that in the litany, it is false doctrine and heresy which have the pride of place before schism as evils from which we pray to be delivered. Schism was accomplished at Quebec and at Minneapolis. We are not schismatics. We stand where we have always stood. We believe what we have always believed. We worship as we have always worshipped. Others do not. Schism is a separation from the ancient apostolic church caused by apostasy, which is, in effect, an abandonment of that ancient church's faith and order. But we have abandoned nothing. We adhere unchangingly to the one holy Catholic and apostolic church of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, the church of the ages. Others do not. Therefore, when others say we are guilty of schism, we must fling the charge back into their teeth. So, my dear brethren, we come here together in faith, in strength, and in unity. We come to begin the process of recreating an institutional home for that mystical church from which we shall never be separated. We want to worship in quietness and peace and fervor. We want to preach and teach from a foundation which is strong and genuine and credible. As someone has recently well put it, we are here today because we are called to mission, not because we are called from the Episcopal Church or the Anglican Church of Canada. We want to go out into the world sealed with the sign of the cross as Christians from 33 AD, knowing what we believe and meaning what we say. We are here to proclaim and to affirm. We have a faith to trumpet forth and to carry to the world. There is no greater proclamation of that faith than the Nicene Creed. I ask you, therefore, to stand now and affirm the Nicene Creed with me in ringing voices which will be heard with dismay in the courts of the ungodly and heard with joy at the very gates of heaven. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, Light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, judging both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets, and I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church, I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.